Welcome to PostView.
At this time, I'd like to introduce Jason Ferrara, the Vice President of Corporate Marketing at CareerBuilder. Welcome, everyone, to the Stimulus Hiring Webinar. We're excited to present you with this new material. Jason has appeared on local Chicago news programs, national news programs like Nightline, and staffing industry panels to provide commentary on the hiring environment. Jason will break down the stimulus plan to help you understand the implications on the hiring landscape, how you can stay updated on stimulus activity, and what you can do to stay proactive in this climate. Jason?
Thanks, Jim. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act Economic Stimulus Plan webinar. Throughout the webinar, I'm going to probably just call the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act the Stimulus Plan. American Recovery and Reinvestment Act is a mouthful, so I'll shorten that up for everybody here. Two housekeeping items before we begin. Item number one is we will make the slides and the audio portion of this webinar available to you, so you can have that after. If you're planning on taking serious notes or screenshotting this, you don't necessarily have to, because we'll make that available to you. And two is we'd love to field questions from all of you. The way that this will work best with the amount of people on the call is if you can submit your questions through the Q&A function within the webinar, and that way we will be able to read those and then respond to those questions at the end of the presentation. So we will move forward. What we want to do today is really three things. One, a general overview of the stimulus plan. Two, what the stimulus plan means to the hiring landscape. And then three, where you can go to stay updated on stimulus activity. I should say that what we cover for the stimulus plan is mostly information that is publicly available. We've spent a lot of time here poring over the actual details of the stimulus plan, tried to boil it down and make it as clear as possible in English as possible. But if you have other specifics, a lot of this stuff can be probably addressed by your business accountant or your finance team at your company. Your general counsel or your attorneys, they will also have further information on this. But there are some great places to go online to get some more information about the stimulus plan. So let's go through the general overview of the stimulus plan. And the idea behind the stimulus plan is to save and create up to 4 million jobs. And this chart here from moodyseconomy.com shows the industries in which those jobs will be either created or saved. And you can see the total at the bottom is just under 4 million. So the total stimulus plan is $787 billion, and that will all get distributed through these different industries. One industry I want to call out is the retail industry. There is no specific part of the stimulus plan that calls out retail. But the idea is, with the investment in construction, manufacturing, professional and business services, leisure and hospitality, all the way down the list, that there will be lots of activity pushed through to the retail industry, whether it's materials needed for construction, whether it's through a tax relief that individuals will want to be doing things to their homes, whether it's new homes and furniture purchases, that sort of thing. The idea behind retail is it will trickle down through all that. If you look to the right of your screen, you see a bubble chart of where the money will be spent in general. You see a lot of the money, a majority of the money spent between tax relief and state and local fiscal relief. So we'll talk more specifically about state and local, because that's really the way that the stimulus plan money is executed and delivered, is through state and local governments. We'll talk much more about that. So let's start with the absolute basics of the stimulus plan. All right, so there is the U.S. Capitol and the Congress passing a bill, signing it into law. President Obama signed it into law on February 17, 2009. What happens now is the stimulus plan provides for the $787 billion to be delivered in grants through to the U.S. government agencies that you see on the right of your screen. So there are a lot of agencies. They will all receive some information about the stimulus plan. Those agencies will then turn around and work with individual states on how to deliver that grant money through to the states. So certainly in the media you've heard a lot about state governors meeting with the White House, state governors meeting with their legislature to understand what projects are ready to go, where can we spend this money when it comes to us from the government agencies. So the government will begin to work with the states. And then the states and the local governments will then turn to businesses in the communities to deliver on specific projects. So there are a few examples of this happening already out in the world. If any of you read USA Today yesterday, the cover story was about projects funded by the stimulus plan. So that is the federal government agencies working with, in this specific case of USA Today, the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon working with city planners to understand specific examples and projects to highlight within their state. The two projects in the article that they talked about is in a small town in northern Oregon. Two of the projects, one is rebuilding a sidewalk on the main street of the city, and two is raising a railroad crossing. Raising the railroad crossing, I think, does a couple things. One is it's going to save people's tires and their transmissions, number one. But number two is to really open up some real estate in this town in Oregon for developers to create some shopping and potentially a hotel. So you can see how that money delivered from an agency in the government to the state of Oregon directly to these to the local government in Oregon is now going to open up who's the construction company that raises the level of the railroad crossing, and who are the contractors and the developers who are going to work on building the potential hotel and the shopping mall. So that type of information really nicely laid out in USA Today. There is another example that happened earlier this week with Microsoft, and it is a project in the Seattle area that is a bridge that will connect two Microsoft campuses. Those campuses are separated by a highway. So there's been some hubbub about this particular project, but this project is illustrative of business working with local governments to say, if you do have stimulus grant money, we would like to use some of that to connect the two campuses. We're a large employer. This would, you know, ease the burden on our employees. So regardless of what you think of the potential bridge between two Microsoft campuses, I think the point is a business working with governments here, local government, is really the way that this grant money is going to get delivered. So we'll talk about a specific example and then implications of this specific example on the hiring landscape. So a lot of words on this. I'm not going to go through every single thing. This is really an illustration of what the stimulus package does in relation to energy and environment. So you can see $98 billion, a little bit over $98 billion spent on energy and environment. If you go halfway down this list, you'll see Department of the Interior, $9.2 billion. First sub-bullet, Environmental Protection Agency. And the Environmental Protection Agency is the recipient of a $7.2 billion grant focused on clean drinking water initiatives. So this is an example of one way in which grant money will get used. Obviously, clean drinking water, important to us all, right? I'm drinking water while I'm talking to you, and I'm thankful that it's clean. The EPA is the agency that works with the U.S., all the local governments, to make sure that we have potable drinking water that is safe and that we can continue to rely on. The EPA grant money for clean drinking water gets divided up in a number of ways. One of the ways is through research on ways that the U.S. is using water, how to conserve water, and work with water reclamation districts. Another percentage of that money will actually get used based on the information from that research to work with those water reclamation districts to help the water infrastructure within the U.S. to make sure that we can ensure clean water drinking supplies into the future. So this is a great example of the American public benefiting from stimulus money through clean drinking water, but also a great example of the EPA raising the flag to say, here is something that is critically important to the way we live our life in this country, and we need to continue investing in that research and projects locally. And those projects locally, with the local water reclamation districts, will most likely result in jobs, either keeping jobs for people who are there or hiring out more people for that water reclamation district, for example. I'll go through four other specific examples, again, illustrative of what happens with the stimulus plan and how the money then gets spent on a local basis. So the first area we'll touch on is the home buyer tax credit. This is an exciting piece of the stimulus plan. What the bill does is provide an $8,000 tax credit available to first-time home buyers for the purchase of their principal residence. And that tax credit is available from January 1st, 2009 through December 31st, 2009. So this is a tax credit, so it will be on income taxes. It will be a reduction in the income taxes. If a first-time homeowner does not use all $8,000, there is the potential that the balance of that $8,000 is delivered in a check to that homeowner. But the $8,000 is not just, a check isn't written from the government and given to the homeowner. It's used as a tax credit. Again, it's an exciting part of the plan because where arriving in this economic situation, we came here based on a lot of real estate, inflated real estate values. So to be able to have a part of the stimulus plan focused on home buyer tax credits is an exciting piece to continue to say, in America, we're going to invest in people owning their own homes. So how does the home buyer tax credit then trickle into the regular economy and help us save or create jobs? In theory, the home buyer tax credit motivates people to go out who have not purchased a home and purchase a home. So clearly, the real estate industry has the most to benefit from this from a real estate agent perspective, but also from the financial industry perspective, and writing and underwriting mortgages is also a potential boon to that industry. And if there are any mortgage brokers out there, if you're anything like my mortgage broker, number one, you don't have the staff you did a year ago, and number two, you're probably twice as busy right now than you were. So hopefully what we can do with this tax credit is begin to give the mortgage brokers, the real estate agents, the business there through people going and looking for homes. When you buy a new home, if any of you on the call have bought a new home, you need to furnish it. You need to make sure that you have what you need in that home. So the idea also behind the tax credit, as we work this down the line, is that as a new homeowner, you'll need to furnish your house, and you'll go to stores that sell home furnishings. And those people will, in theory, need to, you know, staff up to deliver on that demand. So this isn't a, you know, on-off situation. It's not tomorrow all of a sudden everybody begins to buy homes again. But over time, we want to invest in people doing this and purchasing homes. The second bullet is the energy efficient housing tax credits and grants. So the focus here is a grant for about $6 billion for energy efficiency and conservation. What this really will be delivered to homeowners and businesses is a 30% tax credit, which is an increase from 10%, a 30% tax credit for purchases of new furnaces, windows, insulation, anything that will make your home or business more energy efficient. There's also $5 billion invested in maintenance of the existing electrical grid in the U.S. So you have two things at work here. One is, let's make our homes more energy efficient, thereby saving us as consumers money on the amount we spend on energy, and two, pumping some money into the system saying, well, I'm going to go buy insulation or I'm going to go buy windows. Because the company that makes windows theoretically will have orders for wood and glass and metal and vinyl, and all of a sudden, you know, they'll be building and delivering and increasing their inventories to deal with the potential demand for energy efficiency from us as consumers. For the U.S. electricity grid, the important thing here is, let's make sure that we are delivering electricity to all the areas that need electricity. Let's make sure that that grid is capable of handling the load, and then let's make sure that we can sustain that load over a period of time. I was just out in California, and you know, people are still talking about rolling blackouts and the impact of the potential of a faulty electrical grid in the U.S. So some of this money is to go to help that infrastructure. And again, how does this help the hiring landscape? So if we're investing in energy-efficient homes, we're going to go out and buy things. That's some of that retail effect you see there. And if we're investing in the electrical grid, we're identifying projects that need work. And so we are identifying places where we can actually hire people to help with that work. The third bullet is broadband deployment. This has been talked about for a long time. It is, you know, the concept is deploying broadband internet access across the U.S. to underserved or unserved areas of the country. And it's an exciting project. It's a huge undertaking from companies. It will have implications for not only manufacturers of broadband equipment and computer manufacturers, but it also has implications for telecommunications companies that will potentially be delivering this service. So, aside from it's really exciting to be walking down the street and getting broadband and sitting in a cafe with your computer, it's also really exciting to look at the unserved or underserved areas of the country and be able to get people online, be able to have people participate in the online community. Obviously, that's become such a big part of our culture. We want to be able to distribute that to everyone. Big possibilities for hiring there based on the providers of those services and the manufacturers of the equipment that will use those services. And then the last bullet is what potentially the grant money that's going through to NASA and the types of projects that NASA has the potential to work on. This example, less specifically about how is it going to impact the hiring landscape, but more about how do we understand what the grant money really is. So NASA is going to be delivered about $1 billion. This $1 billion NASA has planned to divide up in a number of different ways. The first is science programs. So NASA is not simply sending, you know, rockets to the moon and space shuttles to the space station, although there is a piece of that $1 billion that will be spent on exploration. NASA also has a number of scientists, and they study Earth science, and they study space and get a better understanding of the world we live in. There will be a considerable amount of that $1 billion spent in that particular area. The other place, and this has been in the news recently, I think Boeing is probably the best example of a company who's taking advantage of the next generation in air transport systems. They have a new plane, the new Boeing plane, which should be released in a few years, is made up primarily of composite material, so it's much lighter, it's much more fuel efficient. A lot of these types of composite materials come out of a tremendous amount of R&D activity that goes on at NASA. So NASA spends an enormous amount of time saying, well, how can we make air travel more efficient in all possible ways? And you can see that benefiting us through companies like Boeing and other aircraft manufacturers. And so what we see with the NASA example is lots of different ways that they're distributing the stimulus money. The question, hopefully, that arises from the NASA example is, well, that's great, but how do we learn about those grants, and how do we learn about all those ways that the grant money might get used? So the first place we want to go to, and certainly we've been using this site a tremendous amount here at CareerBuilder as we not only prepare for this webinar, but work with our clients to discuss the stimulus plan, is recovery.gov. Recovery.gov was created by the federal government. President Obama has mentioned Recovery.gov in a number of press conferences. It's open to everybody. The primary reason for Recovery.gov is to make the stimulus plan as transparent as possible. So the other thing that the current administration has wanted to do with the stimulus plan, realizing that it is an enormous amount of money, and we are all, while most of us enjoy spending money, we're all leery of spending $787 billion. Let's make sure we're spending it in the right place. Recovery.gov is the first step into making the stimulus plan as transparent as possible. So what Recovery.gov will do is walk through what's happening with the stimulus plan at a federal level, then talk about where they've been with the states and where they are with the agencies. So if you look at states, for example, and you click the State Progress and Resources link, you will go to a website specifically created and maintained by that state. So, for example, when I click Illinois, I get the site specifically created by Illinois on what part of the stimulus plan is coming to Illinois and what types of grants do we plan to spend and what has already started being spent. And if we go to the Agency Progress and Resources section, this will be talking about government agencies and local agencies who will be receiving grants from the stimulus plan. So you can see this tremendous amount of information back there about, A, what is the stimulus plan? B, what can I learn from it as a citizen? What's my state doing? What are these agencies doing? You can see across the top of the graphic there's a tab for students, parents, teachers, administrators. So there's also information there as a student, what does recovery.gov and what does ed.gov specifically about education mean for the students and mean for the parents? How will that affect their daily lives? So great amount of information here and something we check often in order to understand the stimulus plan. The other piece of understanding the stimulus plan is to figure out what are these grants, who's getting the grants, and how can we be a recipient of some of those grants? And how would I apply to get some of this grant money from the stimulus plan? So grants.gov is another website that we would recommend you looking at and taking advantage of. It will go through, as you can see here, it has grants by category. So if you're looking for food and nutrition grants, energy grants, health grants, you can go in, see the information about those specific grants. It's a searchable database. This is happens to be browsing by category. And if you want to take advantage of some of those grants, this site will tell you how you can be a part of that system. The next site we want to focus on is really to introduce stimulushiring.com, which is a career builder site we created specifically about stimulus hiring. So realizing that there's any, when you read the actual stimulus plan, it's this tremendously long, involved, legal, government type document that I wouldn't, recommend as leisure beach reading. There's a need to boil it down, and that's what we're trying to do with this webinar. That's what recovery.gov and grants.gov is trying to accomplish, and that's what we're trying to accomplish with stimulushiring.com as well. How can we bring out the and really condense the stimulus plan, bring out the most important pieces of the stimulus plan as it relates to hiring across all industries, and then frankly, how is Career Builder a part of that process? And so we'd like to introduce stimulus hiring as a way to, so you listening on the call can go get quick information about the stimulus plan as it relates to hiring, and then when you need to deliver on hiring, when you have a contract come in, when you have people contact you to do some work, when you realize that there's more work in your business and you need to hire, stimulushiring.com will go through the types of solutions that Career Builder can offer as it relates to the stimulus hiring plan. Okay, there are a few other things we want to make sure we cover as they relate to businesses. So a large portion of Career Builder customers are small businesses. They have very specific needs, and certainly in the economy that we're in, small businesses, and I think the U.S. economy is relying on small businesses in a way to pull the U.S. out of the current economic situation. And so some of the stimulus money is going directly to the Small Business Administration. And the Small Business Administration is making this money available through grants to small businesses. So if you are having difficulty making your payroll, you're having trouble investing back into your business to get some growth, you need some additional financing in order to do that. Hopefully, as a small business, you've already turned to the Small Business Administration, but there's even more of a reason to do so now because they'll be receiving money from the stimulus program to extend lines of credit. So that, I think that's important for us all to realize that that's out there. There are a number of hiring incentives. There is currently a hiring incentive for businesses to hire disadvantaged workers. However, that disadvantaged worker incentive from the government has been expanded now to include unemployed veterans and also what are termed disconnected youth, or those are youth from 16 to 25 who haven't had regular employment in the past 6 months. So the government's expanded their definition of a disadvantaged worker to unemployed military or disadvantaged youth as well. There is a tax credit for businesses who hire disadvantaged workers that has increased to 40% of the first $6,000 in wages paid to that worker. So try to make that as simple as possible. There is a tax credit available to businesses that hire disadvantaged workers. It's a 40% credit on the first $6,000 in wages. So if you are looking to hire, or you're in a situation in the near future in which you want to hire, those categories of disadvantaged workers are great categories to look into because, number one, they're capable people. Number two, your business would benefit from a tax credit. So that's another way the stimulus plan is working through to help businesses with hiring and help businesses with some tax relief. The Making Work Pay credit is also a tax credit. It went into effect yesterday, April 1st. And it is a way to put money back into the paychecks of your employees. So the Making Work Pay credit will last through 2010, starting April 1st of 2009, through 2010. And it will provide a refundable tax credit up to $400 for individuals and up to $800 for married taxpayers filing joint returns. Now, there are limits to total salary for that tax credit. So if you're an individual making over $75,000 a year or a married couple making over $150,000 a year, that tax credit is not available. But if you are under those caps and you're an individual or a married couple filing jointly, there is that Making Work Pay tax credit. Again, the idea behind that is you put more money in the hands of the employee. That employee then has a way to not only pay down some debt, but go out and spend some money as a consumer to put money back into the system. And then there are advantages to COBRA healthcare. Those extend, in some ways, extend benefits of COBRA through December 31st of 2009. If people have lost their job and have not accepted COBRA, if they have involuntarily terminated and not accepted COBRA, then COBRA will be available to them. They'll be offered it once again. So if they've turned it down once, they'll be offered it once again. So what the stimulus plan is trying to do is understand that there are circumstances out of some people's employees' controls and go back to them with the opportunity to have COBRA health care. So those are four other, I think, important notes for any business, specifically small businesses and businesses who will be able to hire and who need to hire relatively quickly coming up here. So that is the formal part of the presentation. I would be happy to take questions from those of you on the call right now as we go through. And I have a few questions that have already come in, so I wanted to address those, and then as those questions come in, I can answer them as they come in. Okay, so the first question that we had is, if you could guess how much of the stimulus plan will really impact businesses, how much will really impact hiring? And I think that's a great question to say, What is the real impact going to be of the stimulus plan? It's very difficult to know. Obviously, we know what we hear in the media. We know what we can read on sites like recovery.gov and grants.gov. But, we took an unscientific poll as we planned for this webinar. And the unscientific poll was, do you the poll question was, do you anticipate the economic stimulus plan impacting your hiring? And of those businesses that responded, over 50% said yes, they plan to have the stimulus plan impact their hiring needs. And so what I think this tells us, number one, is there's optimism out there that the stimulus plan is going to do something for businesses and then in turn for the economy. How much will really impact hiring? I think that what we can see is the more work that needs to be done, we're going to need to either keep the people we have or build the people that we have potentially laid off, bring them back, or bring in some new employees. So I think there's some tremendous optimism out there. I've talked to several clients this week and late last week about it, and they're seeing, some clients are actually seeing some of this money come through. Clearly, USA Today saw some activity, and specifically in this city in Oregon. Okay, so another question on from the listeners out there to the webinar. So how real-time is the information on recovery.gov and grants.gov? Can I make sure that what I'm seeing there is accurate? If I need to make decisions on it, how do I make sure that information is accurate? And I think from what we understand with recovery.gov and from what we understand by looking at the web, we see some pretty up-to-date and timely information. Obviously, transparency is one of the big things about the stimulus plan, making sure that we all as citizens understand where that money's going. It's a huge plan. It's $787 billion. This is going to take probably 2 years to get through the entire economy. So as we try to build out how up-to-date all this information is, I think we've got to trust that there's probably a little lag in the information here, but we've got to trust that what's on recovery.gov is accurate information. And everything we hear from President Obama is that's where the accurate information is going to live, so we need to trust in that, if that is as accurate information. Okay, so a question that came in, what are the top five sectors in which the stimulus plan money will be spent? Good question, because obviously you all are out there listening with different ears and in different industries. So the top five sectors that we see would be IT and engineering as one sector, construction, retail, manufacturing, and finance. So those are the main industries where money will be delivered. Construction, obviously in the media you're hearing the phrase shovel ready, and you're hearing that all the time. So shovel ready means projects that we can start today, whether it really is construction or whether it's some other type of project. That's what shovel ready means. And so you'll see everything across construction, manufacturing, finance, IT, engineering focused on what can we do right now. And most of that right now you'll see from articles in the paper are construction articles. A couple of questions on disadvantaged workers and COBRA. So, can we go into more detail on the disadvantaged worker plan? Can we go into more detail on COBRA? And the information that I gave just a few minutes ago is about the extent of the detail we have on the Disadvantaged Workers Program and the COBRA programs. My recommendation with disadvantaged workers and anything that would affect taxes is to contact either your accounting department or your accountant specifically. How it affects your business will change business to business and the size, the amount of employees, that whole thing. So it's really important to have contact with your accountant, and your human resources team will probably have the most information about COBRA. If you're a small business and are laughing because I just said human resources team, you can probably also go to your accountant or an attorney, and they'll have more information about COBRA as well. I've got two more questions here. I've got time for about two more questions. So we'll start with, the question here is, I already have a lot of candidates coming to me. I have a few job openings. How do I deal with the flood of people coming in? Obviously, unemployment is high, so there will be an increase in the number of applicants for the probably limited number of openings. there will be increased pressure on applicants and businesses. So one of the important things, regardless of your current process, I think, is to really take stock of your process and how are you treating applicants that come into your business? So what are they learning about your business before they apply? And then what's that application process like? How long does it take you to return a response to them, thanks for applying? How long does it take for you to actually respond, yes or no, we'd like to have an interview, we would not like to have an interview? Those types of process issues, different issues than the stimulus plan, but have some serious effect toward how potential employees come into your company. So the other piece of it, I think, is in a very tactical manner, is if you are a CareerBuilder customer, you have access to a number of screening opportunities. So you can have your applicants screen themselves when they apply to your job. So you know the people who really match your description and the people who do not really match your description. And your CareerBuilder salesperson can certainly help with the screening questions and the screening capabilities. Those are already included in the products you have from CareerBuilder, so that should be a pretty easy fix to help with a large stream of candidates that come in. Okay, so let's see. I said two more questions, but we've gotten some really good ones, so I'll actually answer two more now. Making Work Pay, that tax credit, how is it administered? So the Making Work Pay tax credit, which is the concept that there will be a tax credit into the paycheck of employees, that will be a reduced amount of tax into the employee's paycheck. So it will not be money from the employer. It's not a specific amount of money direct from the employer to the employee. It is a government tax cut that your payroll department should definitely have information about it. And again, if you're a business that is laughing at me because I just said payroll department and that happens to be you, again, that's a great question for your accountant and how to execute on that, but that Make Work Pay is administered as a tax reduction in an employee's paycheck. So then another question I have here is, so how should we be working with the state and local governments as businesses to attach ourselves to some of that grant money or understand a little bit closer? In fact, the specific question was, should I contact the governor of our state to figure out when and how we interface with the stimulus plan? And certainly, I would say absolutely. Contact the governor's office, contact your state representative, contact your U.S. representative if that's what you need to do to understand the right state agencies, the right state people to have the conversation with. This is money that most states are excited about getting in order to get some people back to work, in order to get some projects done. And so by reaching out to the governor or your representatives, there will be some big momentum there to carry over and really help with getting your understanding of your business and how to take advantage of the stimulus plan. The great questions just keep pouring in here, so I'm gonna answer a few more. I think just there's a demand out there, so if I can answer some, I certainly will. So the question was, how many jobs were created and saved per industry? So that question, great question, and it's something important to understand. That was slide 3 of the presentation, so when we make the slides available, you'll have that information. But what we have from moodyseconomy.com is the breakdown of jobs created and saved across the stimulus plan at 4 million jobs. So you look at construction, is pegged at about 670,000 jobs, manufacturing around 450, leisure and hospitality at 435 million. So there are a number of different, the numbers are different across industries, but if you receive the slides, that's page 3 where that information will be, so you can see the impact of your particular industry. And then what about the financial sector? What specifically will impact the financial sector for the stimulus plan? And we, you know, address that a little bit through some of the homeowner tax credit. Certainly with the homeowner tax credit, the theory is people will be out there buying real estate. That will inject the financial sector with the need to generate mortgages and definitely loans and potentially lines of credit to consumers so that they can go out and furnish their homes and that sort of thing. So there should be an increased demand for mortgages. But I think this also has implications in the insurance industry as well. Insurance from a standpoint of insuring your car, but also insurance from a standpoint of do you buy insurance on appliances through those appliance companies or third parties. Also, with an increased amount of construction, there is a need to insure those construction sites and those construction workers. So there is the potential to have an increase in insurance as well, and insurance is traditionally grouped in the financial sector. Okay, one question here. Question on wind power. Is wind power discussed in the stimulus plan at all? Wind power and alternative energy sources, sort of the green initiative, is part of the stimulus plan, and I think that's definitely some of the money that is impacted and sent into there's $43 billion put to energy, and that definitely is some of the R&D that will be done in the energy sector. And infrastructure and science is scheduled to receive about $111 billion in grant money. Surely some of that money will be spent on energy as well. Specifically with wind power, it's mentioned as one of the pieces of alternative energy, but it's not called out any more specifically than that. Although wind energy is receiving a lot of focus in the alternative energy sector. I was just out speaking with one of our clients, and they happen to work with lots of energy companies, and they're constantly having this wind power discussion and talking with their clients and also with contractors who build wind turbines. And they're just extremely optimistic about the opportunity to begin to build larger wind farms. I just got done reading a book by the woman who owns Fiji Water, and they're spending an enormous amount of time putting wind farms in their factory in Fiji where they bottle the water. So obviously, wind power is coming into its own. In my travels through Europe specifically, they are far and away ahead of the U.S. when it comes to wind power. So it's only a matter of time before that really takes on a life of its own in the U.S., and certainly that's part of the plan. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up. Thank you very much for attending the webinar today. I hope that was some, by way of a general overview of the stimulus plan, and then a general understanding of how can some of the stimulus money trickle into hiring, and where can we as companies who might need to hire and be beneficiaries of the stimulus plan go for information. So we talked about recovery.gov and grants.gov, stimulushiring.com, the career builder site. Certainly we are here for further questions. Anyone at Career Builder can get you through to me if you want to have a deeper conversation about that. So thank you again for your time. The recording will be available. We'll email that out to attendees, and we'll also post it on stimulushiring.com. So thanks very much, and have a great day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude the conference call for today. We do thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line. Have a good afternoon.